If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
May 12, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That's Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 99. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
Man, nothing much. I had a great weekend. How was your weekend? Solid?
Amazing weekend.
Yeah,
great
Mother's
weekend.
Day, great. Did your mom enjoy the gifts you got her?
Excellent. Okay. Mother's Day weekend, yes.
Good to hear. Did you, just dinner at the house, dinner elsewhere?
We did have dinner at the house.
Okay.
We had a Bangkok Alley, which
nice.
Is one of the best in the city.
Yes.
And yeah, we did games. We played this game called Bordle, which is Wordle. But as Bordle. A board game?
Oh, okay.
Very fun.
All right. It sounds kind of like Scrabble. That's what that
kind
sounds.
Of. Yeah, kind of. Kind of. But yeah. No, it was a great Mother's Day.
Yeah, my mom was in town. Taylor, of course. And we got some Grissini's. Are you familiar with Grissini's? My family usually stays at that, when they come in town, they always stayed at the Embassy Suites over there by Ronnie Grissani's.
I was about to say, are you trying to say Grissanti's?
No, there's not a new restaurant, but the restaurant attached to the Embassy Suites was Frank Grissani's.
Right.
Next to Ronnie's. Now it's Grissini's.
It's Grissini's
now. Same exact restaurant, though.
Why is it Grissini's now?
My mom loves it to death, so I had to go get it. And it's like a rite of passage when she comes to the city. She had to go get her Grissini's.
I love Grissanti's.
It's good.
Why is it Grissini's now? Did you get a backstory?
I have no idea. I heard, actually, the... one of the waiters explaining it to a table he had when I was picking up the food.
But same restaurant.
Same, literally exact same menu. Nothing changed. But it's Grissini's now.
They got the biggest meatballs on the planet.
They do, and I got some last night.
Hell yeah.
About it.
Hell yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey.
Gotta love a little Italian food. Now, we have 2 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. Only one guest today. That's 5 o'clock. David Cobb will join from CBS Sports, but we have so much to get to. NBA draft lottery is tonight. Let me ask you this, Connor. Knowing what we know, and the Grizzlies getting swept out, would you have liked to be at least a part of the lottery tonight to see if the Grizzlies could move up and get a nice pick? Or
I don't think it would
care at all.
I don't think it would have changed the fortunes of the Grizzlies.
No,
much.
Absolutely not. I'm just asking. Would you?
I would have rather been in the playoffs.
We don't have a bunch of Grizzlies news right now. We had Tomas Isolo get hired, and the Grizzlies are out.
I still would rather have been in the playoffs.
Yes, I'm with you. I'm with you. But like just tonight,
I don't know.
Okay.
I will be honest.
One of my least favorite traditions, though, every single year, is when they go. When we have NBA draft lottery night, and they go back to 2003 and relitigate that.
Oh, they show
the Cleveland Cavaliers
with
ended up getting
yeah,
it.
Yeah, then.
You have the Cavs war room, I guess, hoping that they get the first overall pick, and then the Grizzlies come up at number 2. And then
I am curious to see where Cooper Flagg's going to go.
Yeah.
But that's really the only intrigue I have tonight.
Yeah, I'm curious. We'll get to those thoughts in a second. How sold are we? How confident are we that Cooper Flagg is going to live up to the hype once he gets to the National Basketball Association? That's worth discussing. We do have some NBA playoffs. Of course, we only have a 2-hour show because we're passing you off to an NBA playoff game. 2-1, Celtics, Knicks. Celtics on the road at MSG, game 4. how is this going to go? Like, it's so strange for me to look at that game and say, I feel like the Knicks must win that game. Because you don't want to have 2-2 going back to Boston. Because we watched game three, 115-93. If the Celtics just hit 30% of their threes,
right,
they will win the game.
Exactly what we said. Yep.
So it's like tonight.
Don't stop shooting threes, just make them.
The Knicks need to make sure they go up 3-1 tonight. That's how it feels to me, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the rest of the NBA playoffs. They've been really good in the Western Conference.
They have.
Western Conference, I mean, it's going to be a battle at the end of both
the
of those
OKC
series.
Denver series, even though it can be a bit of a rock fight sometimes, is very, very intriguing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the show for you. Let's go ahead. The draft lottery tonight. We have the Jazz, the Wizards, the Hornets, all at 14% with a chance to get the first overall pick. Right after them, the Pelicans at 12.5%. Then right after them in fifth, 10.5% goes to the 76ers, 9% chance to get the first overall pick for the Brooklyn Nets, Raptors and the Spurs at 6%. Then it goes down 3.8% to the Suns, 3.7% to the Trailblazers, and 2% or less for the Mavs, Bulls, Kings, and Hawks. What team are we looking at that has a realistic shot at grabbing the first overall pick? What team is the scariest team that could get that number one overall pick and ultimately grab Cooper Flagg?
The scariest one?
The scariest one. What is the one that sort of puts you on edge? Puts you on edge, okay, this team is going to have a nice runway. I think there's one team in particular.
I mean, it's clearly the Spurs,
right? It's clearly the Spurs at 6%.
It has to be the Spurs.
I don't think there's any other team that really gives me a whole bunch of pause. I guess, and this is strange, Zion Williamson is going to be the representative for the Pelicans. I don't know. You can read that how you want to, because I thought that they'd make a trade, but we know that Joe Dumars took over as their sort of GM and player personnel guy, so we'll see if they keep Zion Williamson. But I guess the Pelicans, I could talk myself into being a little bit worried if they end up getting him.
I mean, the Rockets, too, I guess. But they only have like 3.8%
chance to win.
Yeah,
that's a very low percentage. That would suck, I don't know if I'm buying into that yet. So I think that we're looking at the worst-case scenario, of course, being the Spurs. And then the Pelicans could make some moves to make themselves competitive if they do grab Cooper Flagg there. Now, there is the thought process out there, Connor, that whoever grabs the number one overall pick this year, you know, if it's the Pelicans, it's Spurs, some team like that, Rockets, there is the thought that they could trade that number one overall pick to go grab a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, and there's a lot of discussions around how that's going to work out. I want to go to Brian Windhorst. He said this today, early morning on ESPN, and he was talking about the Giannis Antetokounmpo trade. Or potential trade. Here's what he had to say. I do love how, like, the entirety of that sound is basically Wendy saying, you know, Giannis hasn't made a decision, the Bucks haven't made a decision, and we don't know how this is going to figure itself out, but keep your eye out. For the same teams that we've been talking about keeping your eye on. The Pelicans actually have come up previous to today as a potential landing spot. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. You're going to have to figure out what's going on.
There's no way in hell Giannis is going to go to New Orleans.
But how do we feel about Giannis and where he could end up this offseason? I have also seen a report from Sam Amico, at Amico Hoops on Twitter, on X. He said that, you know, according to sources he's talked to, Giannis thinks about no income tax as a real checklist item. So obviously the Spurs and the Rockets fit in there in the state of Texas. The Grizzlies would fit in there, considering, you know, here in Tennessee we don't have the income tax. So that could sway his decision. But obviously I think when you're looking at a trade for the Bucks, you need good player assets, and you're going to need probably – some solid picks for the next 4 to 5 years, because
100%.
Like he said, the Bucks do not have a pick. They do not control their own pick for the next three.
That's crazy. That's crazy that the Bucks don't have picks for the next few drafts. I think that New Orleans would never really happen with Giannis, because why would he want to go to New Orleans? They don't really have anything down there that would make them
and
a
you
contender.
Still have this, you, like Zion could be, I guess, a selling point, but he's never on the floor. And Zion, there's been the talks about him potentially being traded out and getting to a new spot. So that sort of falls on deaf ears to me.
I think the teams to really look for are the Rockets and the Spurs. It's the same teams where a few weeks ago we were putting together Giannis trades, and the two teams that we said that were the ones to keep an eye on were the Houston Rockets and the San Antonio Spurs, because they have a combination of draft assets and really talented young players that they could send to Milwaukee. That makes a ton of sense for both sides. If the Spurs wanted to make a trade with Milwaukee, that makes sense. If the Rockets wanted to cash in some of these young guys and some of their draft assets to try to make a leap, that makes sense too. I would be, if Giannis wants out, I think that it's either going to be one of the big markets that he said that he wanted to go to, or it's going to be San Antonio or Houston. I do think the Grizzlies have a puncher's chance in negotiations here, but you'd have to have some tough conversations about who you'd want to include in these trades.
I mean,
trades.
You're likely offloading Jaren and Bain in any trade that
you're going to put together.
You
start with one of them, but then they're going to try to talk you into another.
That's how it works.
Right. But again, very similar to what we talked about a few weeks ago, would Milwaukee want Jaren and Bain? Or do they want to bottom out with draft assets and young
talent?
Based
on what Brian Windhorst is saying, I don't know if they want to fully bottom out. Now, here's the thing that I wish the Bucks had this mindset about. What's wrong with a rebuild at this point? You're not getting it done with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, you got
to
ring.
You're never going to get back to the top of the mountaintop here in the NBA with Giannis Antetokounmpo and the set of circumstances you have. No picks. You don't have young guys that are any good. You don't have the assets to go make any meaningful trades to really support Dame and Giannis. And, of course, Dame has the Achilles. So what's that going to look like when he comes back? So I just look at their situation, and the Bucks should not be viewing this as, you know, we really want to trade Giannis to still compete, to still put ourselves and give ourselves a chance in the playoffs. You can restart. It's fine. You got your championship. 99% of franchises in the NBA would say, I have my championship, I've earned some good faith, let's start this whole thing over, new coach, new regime, new players, get some draft assets, let's get going.
Right.
I don't see why their mindset has to be any different than that when they're talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo this offseason.
I think it's probably because they understand that they have no draft assets moving forward. So to make a deal, that's where they're going to have to go. It makes way more sense for them to make a deal for young talent and draft assets than for another superstar right now, because they also just don't have a roster that would make that superstar successful. Because let's be honest about it. If Giannis can't have success with the roster they have, who else is going to have success with that roster?
Prime LeBron James, maybe.
Right, maybe prime LeBron James. I mean, you know,
he ain't walking through that door, though.
It's just the roster is not ready to compete. So if you're flipping your superstar player, Giannis Antetokounmpo, arguably, you know, he's in the top three, top five player discussion in the world right now. If you're trading him away, I think you're doing it to rebuild that war chest of young players and draft assets. It just doesn't make much sense for them to flip it for a superstar player, because there's not really a superstar, quote-unquote, player that matches the Milwaukee Bucks right now, or matches that sort of timeline. And like you said, Damian Lillard just tore his Achilles, and he's in his upper 30s, and he's a small guard. We can be honest about it. He's not going to come back and be Dame.
He didn't have a particularly good season this year.
No, he hasn't had a good season
He hasn't been very good since he joined the Bucks.
Correct.
So
he's been going down. Listen, he's still great because he's Dame Lillard, but we'd be lying if we said he was the same Damian Lillard as he was 4 years ago.
This isn't Portland Trailblazers Dame time. Damian Lillard willing that Portland Trailblazers roster into the Western Conference Finals. This is a 36 going on 37-year-old Dame Lillard off an Achilles surgery. You just have to decide if you're the Bucks to just offload Giannis, get what you can as far as draft assets, rebuild completely, and just deal with the potential consequences of not being a great team for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean,
this is fine, though. Like, it would be different if you're, you know, in the Bulls situation or the Nets situation where you've blown some things up, never won a championship, never got to reap the rewards of it, and then you still have to rebuild. It's different. It's a different situation altogether for the Bucks franchise and for Bucks fans and for the front office for the Bucks. You can rebuild. You've built some good faith. Giannis, the whole thing has seemed to run its course. Make that move.
Like you said, Dame is going to be going on 36 by the time he is able to play real basketball again. It's not going to be the same. There's no reason to try to sit and wait and try to make this Giannis Dame work. It's over. It's a wrap. You tried it. It didn't work. Time to move on.
All right, now over or wrapped up? Cavs, Pacers, over or wrapped up?
Ooh, feels over.
Feels over.
Especially with Donovan Mitchell.
Listen, I thought even at 2-0, when the Pacers stole two games on the road in Cleveland, I thought it was over then. I thought it would take a miraculous comeback, all the injury luck going the Cavs' way. And for a game, Connor, the injury luck did turn their direction. On Friday night, they ended up getting a win, 126-104 on the road. It was 2-1. You felt, oh, okay, the Cavs can wiggle their way back in here. You have Darius Garland on the floor. You have, DeAndre Hunter, Evan Mobley, everybody suited up. But then you get to yesterday in game four, 129-109, a 41-point halftime deficit, and you realize, Cavs are about cooked. I don't care if it goes back to Cleveland. I really don't care about Darius Garland and Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter being back on the floor when Donovan Mitchell got an MRI yesterday and it showed that he re-aggravated his ankle injury. The Cavs had a hell of a season, 64 wins. They deserve to do a little bit of a victory lap for that. Kenny Atkinson won Coach of the Year, all of that good stuff. But in the end of the day, their bodies failed them in these playoffs, and that's okay to say.
Yeah, that's where the Cavs, it's just a gut punch if you're a Cavaliers fan, because I think it's extremely unlikely they're going to come back from 3-1 down against the Indiana Pacers, considering the Pacers are pretty much fully healthy. I know Miles Turner is fighting through a little bit of being banged up, but he was great.
He's played some really good ball, even though he's banged up, supposedly.
He was able to keep Jared Allen at bay, who was one of the main reasons they won the one game that they did. He was fantastic in that game. But the Cavs, they're going to run it back next season. They should probably run it back next season. Maybe make a few marginal moves if you can. But this team is very good. If they were fully healthy, this would be a different series.
Of course.
But they're not fully healthy. And I do think that they deserve some type of credit for coming in, fighting through some of these injuries, and getting one win, and making it at least a series for a day or two.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like that game was
from Friday to Sunday. We felt like, okay, this entire situation could flip on its
Right. Well, because we said they were only a couple of plays away from being up 2-0 in the series, even without these guys. But unfortunately, the Indiana Pacers, as we've just said, they just keep on coming.
Yes.
They just never stop running. They never stop running. And for one game, they were able to keep it at bay. But then in game four, it was almost the exact opposite of what happened from the previous game. Like, it really felt like they just switched teams. They were excellent in that one. Obi Toppin, man. What a game he had. He was 9 of 14, 20 points. Pascal Siakam.
9 for 10 from the field.
His best game of the series. Miles Turner was excellent in that one as well. You know, Tyrese Haliburton didn't really have a very good game, but the biggest thing he does is he makes that offense run, and he only turned the ball over 2 times. So if you're not going to have a good game as a point guard, as long as you're not turning the ball over, you can still have an impact on that game. But the bench for the Pacers really stepped up in game four, and that was one of the big differences.
And on the other side,
Miles Turner's first quarter was crazy.
I'm very glad you bring up the bench for the Pacers, because they have been phenomenal, very consistent. Cavs, I can't say the same thing about.
No.
And it really revolves around one guy. One guy in particular who was in the sixth man of the year running, who averaged around 13 points per game in the regular season, and who I've given some decent praise to this entire season. In the playoffs, though, I saw sort of things shifting for the worse. He's getting picked on the defensive end. Offensively, he was 1 for 14 in game two.
Man.
Ty Jerome.
He's
man.
Been bad.
What the hell's
just
going on?
Bad.
Here are his averages the last three games against the Pacers. 3.7 points per game. 2.7 turnovers per game, 1 assist per game on, get this, the real shooting percentage. This is field goal percentage in general. 16% from the field.
Gross.
What has happened to Ty Jerome from the regular season to the playoffs? I think I have an explanation.
More responsibility.
More responsibility, and it's a different style of ball that's not as open. There's a lot more half-court offense, and you're going to have to sit down eventually and play defense. And what have you seen the Pacers do on a pretty consistent basis? Obviously, they run up and down the floor, make some things happen. But they get the switch on you know, whoever gets the switch on Ty Jerome, whoever has Ty Jerome as a one-on-one defender, they are picking on him every single time down the floor.
Yeah.
They're sort of giving him what the Cavs gave to Tyler Hero in
100%.
That sweep in the
yes.
first round.
Exactly what
That's
I was about
exactly
to say.
What they're doing. They're getting it in return from the Pacers. They talked a lot of trash on Tyler Hero's defense, picked on him pretty consistently down the stretch of games. Now Ty Jerome's getting that from the Pacers.
100%. That's exactly what they are doing. When you look at Ty Jerome's percentages, I mean, three-point percentage, he was shooting 44% from three during the regular season, 36% during the playoffs, which,
right.
and that's really being propped up by the first round against the Miami Heat. Right. Because really in these games, so far in the Indiana series, he has shot 25% from three, 0% from three, 0% from three, and then he shot 100% from three on 5-11 yesterday. But it's just, he has really been struggling, and I think it's because he's in his head defensively so much, and he's just completely uncomfortable offensively, and he's being asked to do more because the ball's not moving around as much because a lot of the series has been Donovan Mitchell's going to dribble and try to make something happen, and if he throws you the ball, you better be ready to catch and shoot. And guess who hasn't been ready to catch and shoot?
Ty Jerome. Yep. That's very clear. That's very clear. Also, in the Eastern Conference, we're going to pass you off to this game around 6 o'clock. We have Knicks versus Celtics. Listen, the Knicks are up 2-1. They deserve a lot of credit for going into Boston the first two games mm-hmm. and handling business. We've praised them for that. But this is as must-win of a game for a team that's up 2-1 at home as I've ever seen in the NBA playoffs. I just feel like the Knicks, if they want to win this series ultimately, do not let the Celtics win tonight. Do not let them win tonight. Take a 3-1 lead and make them fight and scratch and claw and shoot good percentages for three straight games if they want to win the series. But having a 2-2 tie heading back to Boston, I do not feel good about the New York Knicks' chances. And let's be honest about the two games that the Knicks won. I will give credit where credit's due to Mikal Bridges. Great in the fourth quarter. He had 14 points in game two in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and he was great on defense. Game-winning, game-sealing steal from Jaylen Brown, all that good stuff. Jalen Brunson, really, clutch player of the year for a reason. He's been as clutch as possible, leads the playoffs in fourth quarter points. Cool, right? But at the end of the day, the Celtics shooting 25 for 100 in the first two games of that series is why they lost.
100%.
Their lack of shooting, their lack of making, quite frankly, is why the Knicks were able to go ahead and win.
And the shot selection.
The Knicks' ability to beat the Celtics is so dependent on the Celtics, it's not the other way around, right? The Celtics, they can beat the Knicks if the Knicks play a great game. Peak of both teams, Celtics run away by 20. That's just how it has been and how we saw it during the regular season. If the Knicks are going to win tonight or the rest of the series, it's so dependent on what are the Celtics doing, where are they taking their shots from, what are their percentages from three. It's all about the Celtics this entire series. So I think if the Knicks want to win this series, you have to win tonight on your home floor, take advantage of what you have right this second.
I think the Celtics did a great job of making adjustments. They finally made adjustments for that game, and it's one of the reasons they won. Making Peyton Pritchard more of a thing on the offensive end. He played 35 minutes during that game in the fourth quarter in the game that they lost with that comeback by the New York Knicks. One of the questions a lot of people were asking was why wasn't Peyton Pritchard in there to try to give you an offensive boost? And that's exactly what he was able to do in the last game, in game three. He was excellent off the bench. Again, they took the threes, but they took better threes. And you know what they also did? They attacked the rim. They attacked the entire game. They were getting open looks. They weren't settling for step backs when somebody was doubling them or when they couldn't get around somebody. It was the shot selection and the shot making. So to your point, I think the Knicks have to win this game tonight because a lot of people were saying, well, it feels like the Celtics figured something out. I think the Celtics just started making their shots
again.
They
made shots!
And stopped playing dumb. They just stopped playing dumb. That was what was happening in that fourth quarter of game two. You were just like, what are you doing? Why are you taking these stupid shots and not playing together? And, you know, there's no way around it. The Knicks were just bad in game three. They couldn't make any shot. They couldn't hit anything. The Knicks couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat from three in game three. If that happens again, if you only make five threes against the Boston Celtics, guess what? You're going to lose.
Yeah, Celtics were, it's a pretty substantial difference. They were 20 for 40 from three. As opposed to being, what was it in game one?
65 or
15
whatever.
15 for 60 and then they were 10 for 40 in game two.
Yeah.
But this is what they do.
Math.
Right? Like, it's strange to see them get into that second round series against the Knicks, and they're at home, and they finally have string together two straight performances, terrible from the field, terrible from the three-point line, because they didn't really do that during the regular season. Like, they would sort of be on and off, string together a couple of good games. They usually would have one bad game and get back to their normal shooting from three.
Yep.
In this series, though, they just started it off as poorly as possible.
They were excellent defensively.
And then they had some serious issues in the fourth quarter when Joe Mazzulla wouldn't pull any strings to try to make them better on the offensive end. He just kept with that plan. And you did finally see it pay off in game three, right? This is how they play. This is how they're going to play. You just have to get used to it. And most of the time, we have learned, whether it was last year or this year, they do make at least 33 to 35% of their threes, which is right around 20 threes in a game. So keep doing that. Just, I will say, especially tonight and going through the rest of the series, Joe Mazzulla has to take it upon himself. If they have a tough shooting night like they did in game one and game two, pull some strings, take a timeout, tell them to attack a little bit more. I understand this is how you won a championship. I understand that this team has been phenomenal because of this style, more analytics-based, you know, trying to take three when other teams are taking two. I get it. But when you're shooting 15 for 60 from three, stop taking three.
They didn't take their foot off the gas in this one. They took their foot off the gas in game two. And one of the biggest
ways
you can see
that. That is another thing. Good point. We can't lose sight of the fact that it was two 20-point comebacks.
Yeah. Well, like in game one and game two, Drew Holiday started the game. He helped them get that lead by playing excellent defense. And then Mazzulla released Peyton Pritchard for the rest of the game. And he's like, y'all deal with this guy. Try to stop him. He's going to run around and shoot the entire time. He helped them keep their foot on the gas. Peyton Pritchard was great in that game. Great in game three.
Yep. All right. Now, well, we're going to switch gears. I have some NFL.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We need to discuss Over the weekend, we obviously had some rookie minicamp. Shedeur Sanders at Browns minicamp, a rookie minicamp. That'll be worth discussing. But I think the biggest story from over the weekend in the National Football League has to do with Derek Carr with the New Orleans Saints. He is retired officially after 11 seasons because of the shoulder injury that has been ongoing, you know, since last year when he got hurt. So I want to discuss that and, you know, say farewell to a generational, Connor, a generational first-team bag getter. Unbelievable career.
I was about to be like, what the hell are you about to say?
Unbelievable career
accepted.
For Derek Carr. We'll talk about his retirement after 11 seasons next. In the National Football League, we have a retirement that has shocked the world. Not really. It hasn't shocked the world. We knew about his shoulder injury previous in this offseason. We know that the Saints needed to go get a quarterback. We were talking about number 9 for them, but they ended up taking Kelvin Banks Jr., waiting until the second round to take Tyler Shuck. But Derek Carr has officially retired. I think it's more medical than anything else. This is a guy who played 11 seasons, 4-time Pro Bowler, 257 touchdowns, 41,000 passing yards. That's top 25 all-time, believe it or not. And he was third place in 2016 MVP voting. And when we talk about his sort of legendary, I shouldn't say legendary status, but his spot in Raiders history, he did a really good job with the Raiders, ultimately. Obviously, no playoff success, but 35,222 passing yards, that's first in Raiders history. 217 total touchdowns, that's first in Raiders history. And he had 3 Pro Bowl appearances while he was with the Raiders. But Derek Carr, we say a farewell. Can we give him a round of applause? If for nothing else, Derek Carr, throughout his career, is a generational bag getter. Right up there with Kirk Cousins. When we talk about guys that usually make a whole bunch of money, you expect them to eventually get through, get to a playoff appearance, make a run in the playoffs, get to an AFC or NFC championship, make it to a Super Bowl, things like that. But he made $205 million in his career, Connor. And the stat that you can't ignore, 1 playoff appearance, 1 loss, 0-for-1 in his playoff career, making $205 million. That is unbelievable. That's great work if you can get it. But what it does do for the New Orleans Saints is they have to figure out something at quarterback. Now, I know they've been trying to figure that out for a couple of years. The one thing that I think that they did that's been a misstep is they haven't moved off of the thought of competing. They've continually tried to compete, and they're $60 million in the hole according to cap space, according to everybody. And they have just tried to rework contracts of Cam Jordan and all these different guys. Ryan Ramczyk stepped away. He retired this offseason, one of their right tackles. He's been an all-pro and a Pro Bowler. But they tried to continue the Drew Brees era without Drew Brees. That's the idea behind what they have done. They've kept Alvin Kamara hostage, held him hostage, gave him money, done all of that. Now, with Derek Carr retiring, here's what they have in the quarterback room. Tyler Shuck, second-round pick. Probably shouldn't have been a second-round pick, but he was a second-round pick out of Louisville in this draft. Last year, they drafted Spencer Rattler in the 5th round out of South Carolina. He started some games last year. Okay, but not great. And then, of course, 3 years ago, they drafted Jake Haener out of Fresno State in the 3rd round. So that's what they have. In successive drafts, they have drafted a 3rd, a 5th, and a 2nd round pick at the quarterback position, and that's their plan going forward. Doesn't seem like much of a plan to me, Connor. I don't know about you.
Doesn't seem like much of a plan. Worst quarterback room in the NFL?
Oh, God. We're going to talk about another quarterback room. It's more people, but I don't know if it's any that much better.
I think
that's fair, yeah. Worst quarterback room in the NFL without Derek Carr.
Oddly enough.
With Derek Carr, you could have made the case.
Well, oddly enough. The quarterback room we're about to talk about includes a quarterback maybe they should have taken a look at.
Maybe, but
I don't know if he would have gone there, but
I don't know what the Saints are going to do going forward.
Right.
You have a brand new coach in Kellen Moore.
I mean, do you start the
job
rookie?
And Tyler Shuck, is he any good?
You got to find out.
He was the 40th overall pick, and I guess Kellen Moore must believe in him. GM must believe in him, but he's the oldest guy in that room. I did see this. He is the oldest by age in that room, even though he's the most recent.
Really?
Draft.
Oh, that's
because
wild.
He broke his leg and he stayed in college for 6 years.
Maybe their plan is, listen, we'll start the rookie. We got a Manning in the draft. We'll draft some Manning if we can.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. I mean, you might as well. Like, It's not like they're trying to win, or they shouldn't be trying to win football games right now because they need to draft another quarterback. That's the problem.
One of the funniest, you know, facts about the start to the season last. You remember what they did to start the season last year?
Yeah, 47-10 and 44-19. They were like, we're gonna
against the Panthers and then the Cowboys.
We're gonna win the Super Bowl. Then lost
the rest of the year. I it's amazing to me, but at the number 9 overall pick, if you knew that Derek Carr had these issues and could potentially retire, why didn't you make some type of move? Jackson Dart could have been there for you. I know you didn't like Shedeur Sanders. That's why you didn't take him. I understand that part of it. But, like, somebody better than Tyler Shuck. Tyler Shuck was your plan? That's the guy? And clearly to me, considering this was the pick made by the Kellen Moore era, and this is, we just started it, Tyler Shuck has to be the guy for them going forward, right? He has as good a shot as anybody, even though he's a rookie, good a shot as anybody at picking up that offense and running with it. And he's the hand-picked guy. And we know that NFL front offices and NFL coaches lean to their guy when they have made that draft pick and they felt strongly enough to take them, especially in the second round at number 40 overall.
I think one of the reasons I was also surprised they took him is he has injury stuff as well. Like in college, he was oft injured.
Broken legs, yes. Yes. He came in as a 5-star and never really lived up to that hype until his, was it 5th or 6th year at Louisville? That's basically the gist of his entire career, is that 1 year at Louisville at 25 years old. So we'll see. I find it amazing. But Derek Carr retires, made $205 million, 77-92 career win percentage, 0-1. 0-1 in the playoffs. That is unbelievable.
Good for him.
I cannot get over how damn good of a career he had at making money.
I always kind of respect a guy who hangs it up when his body's like, listen, man, you got to hang it up. It's time.
He was also like, I'm going to get
blown up this season.
Can I be honest? The way he has looked since he's got to the Saints,
yikes.
It seems like a guy who needed to retire.
It felt like
since he
year.
Left the Raiders, it's like, I don't know if you're long for this league. But he was making plenty of money, so that probably kept him around a little longer.
Yep. Yeah, he checked his bank account, then he felt his shoulder, and then he looked at the New Orleans Saints offensive line and said, yep, I'm out.
This is stupid. Why am I doing this to myself?
Yep.
All right, now we did have rookie minicamp for the Cleveland Browns over the weekend. Of course, the big story is Shedeur Sanders was taken to the 5th round by them. And, I mean, how do I put this, Connor? I think there was mixed reviews. Let's get to the good review of Shedeur Sanders and rookie minicamp first. Now, that's Zach Jackson from The Athletic. He covers the Browns and has covered the Browns for some time now. He says that Shedeur Sanders just looks different than Dylan Gabriel, who stands at 5'10". Now, let's go to Tony Grossi. He's been covering the Browns. He's been an NFL analyst for thelandondemand.com for a long time. He also covers the Browns on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here's what he had to say. To Tony Grossi's point there at the end, it's hard to be a bust when you're a 5th round pick, but just That's a sidebar. I will say, when it comes to rookie minicamp, I think it's absolutely ridiculous to count stats and to really make a firm decision on who you think the better quarterback is if you have two rookies. Rookie minicamp is all rookies out there. Some guys that they're giving another shot to that are in year, you know, six or seven, they want to give them a little run. It's a workout space for them, workout opportunity. But I will say this. I've been to rookie minicamp. I went to it with the Saints, actually, when I came out of the University of Memphis. 85% of those guys will never play NFL football. So it's ridiculous to even have a firm stance. But we did see two firm stances on complete opposite sides, Connor. And I think that's what I want to highlight here. This quarterback situation for the Cleveland Browns heading into the 25-26 season has got to be the most confusing, convoluted quarterback competition in the history of the NFL. You have five quarterbacks, one that's going to be hurt in Deshaun Watson, so you go to Joe Flacco. There is people in Browns country, people that cover the Browns, people that follow the Browns, fans that want Joe Flacco to get a run because he's the most experienced. He's done it before with the Browns. He's been around. They want Joe Flacco to have it. There's some people who I've seen on Twitter and fans that want to see Kenny Pickett get a run. Well, he's young. He's got some experience. We'll see if he can, you know, the change of scenery, getting away from the Steelers, getting away from the Eagles, getting an opportunity with the Browns. We'll see if he can make something happen. There's some people that really like Shedeur Sanders, as we just heard from Zach Jackson from The Athletic, who covers the Browns. And then there's some people who absolutely love and adore a 5'10", 5'11" quarterback who played 5 years and is pretty old, you know, even at the collegiate level last year when he played with Oregon. But they like Dylan Gabriel. So this quarterback competition, this quarterback room, has got to be the most insane amalgamation of players and opinions that I have ever seen in the NFL's history. And I don't think whoever is the quarterback is going to have much success. You don't have much around you. That O-line needs some help. You look at the defensive side of the ball, which has held them up in a couple of games. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, they're all Pro Bowl linebackers, going to be out for the season after the neck injury he had last year. He was out for the last nine games after a collision with Derrick Henry. He's going to be out for the year, so that's already a body down before we even get to fall camp. So I just look at this Brown situation, this quarterback room, and it is as bizarre as I have ever seen since I followed the National Football League.
Which way do you truly think they should go?
You got to start the year. I don't think there's any other way to start the year than going with Joe Flacco. You have to, right? You brought him in on a decent contract for a couple of years, 1 year, whatever it is. He's got experience. He's shown that he can win games in these types of situations. I mean, I feel like you have to start with Joe Flacco at the very least. Now, inevitably, I think what happens with Joe Flacco is once you realize he's a gunslinger and he's going to take a bunch of chances and he starts throwing picks and the 300-yard games start to disappear, you realize, okay, Joe Flacco, we can't go with him anymore. So I would imagine by week four, week five, we're talking about Kenny Pickett, Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, who actually sort of wins that backup job. But I think Joe Flacco, right? Is this fair? Joe Flacco has to be the guy you go into the year with as the starter.
If they have any illusion of trying to win games, you got to play. It has to be Joe Flacco.
Yes. But if you're just trying to feed the fan base, you'd go with Shedeur.
If
Dylan Gabriel or Kenny Pickett's undeniable, then you go with them. But I don't think either of those guys, by any stretch of the imagination, are going to be undeniable.
I will say that the guy that was like, that liked Dylan Gabriel more, they were like, why? And he was like, he's got a tight spiral. That did have some. I don't know. There's just something about Flacco.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, okay, yeah, sure, yeah. Dude. Yeah, he's got a tight spiral. Yeah.
But Andrew Berry, it really feels like he's going to put all those guys up on a dartboard and just throw a dart, and whoever it hits, he's going to start and play for the rest of the season. Like, they don't have a realistic plan. And I think that we could be looking at a situation where all four of those guys, as we get into the season, have a chance to play and will potentially start games.
Who do you think's on the bottom? Is it Gabriel?
I don't know. Could it be Shedeur.
Could it be Pickett?
It could be Shedeur or Pickett. I don't know. That's why the situation is so insane. Their GM, Andrew Berry, just literally, it feels like he didn't have a realistic thought-out plan when he stepped into the war room on draft night or the 3 days of the draft at the quarterback position. Just probably got forced in the Shador pick. Took Dillon Gabriel in the third round when there's no way, realistically, based on physical attributes and what we hold dear at the quarterback position in the National Football League, no way that guy should be a day two pick. There's just no way. He's 5'11", doesn't have some rocket arm. Played in college for years. He's 24, 25 years of age. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's just, I think what we're seeing is how badly operated and how much change is needed for the Browns to even be a passable franchise. That's what this weekend, you know, looking at all the reports coming out of that rookie minicamp, that's what that did for me. And I think that they're seeing already, based on the questions they're fielding from the press, the amount of cameras that are on Shador every day, I bet they're already feeling, okay, this is going to be a ridiculous distraction we're going to have to deal with on a consistent basis as we get into the season.
Yeah, well, because it felt like every single bit of praise they had for him, they had to say, well, this is just rookie minicamp, and there's no pads, and there's no, like, they had to keep trying to qualify it.
Yeah. And did you also see from Browns minicamp, Mason Graham, their first round pick?
I did see this.
At number 5 in the 2025 NFL draft, he did not look like he was in the best of shape. And maybe they were running around. I've been to those things. You run around a whole lot, and they make the first-round pick work a hell of a lot. Marcus Davenport was the first-round pick with the Saints when I was at the Saints minicamp. But Mason Graham was throwing up all over the place. Looked like he was out of shape and did not have his conditioning about him as he showed up to rookie minicamp. Now, again, it's early in the offseason, and he's still got plenty of chance to get into good shape. But that was not a good sign. As you get into minicamp for your fifth overall pick to be puking all over the place and not able to keep up with the amount of workload you're giving to him. Just
that
the rookie minicamp with no pads, mind you.
Right.
They don't wear pads. No pads. This is just helmet.
That is true. I do think it's very funny, though, and it is sports brain where some Browns fans are watching that and being like, bust! He's a bust! Right. It's like, right. All right, let's relax.
Right. All right. Now, this week's going to be NFL schedule release week, and there's going to be things trickling out, and I believe coming up on Wednesday is going to be the official release for NFL Network and ESPN, and they're going to put it all out there. We mostly know the situation. There's going to be 6 games in their division. They're going to have a certain amount of games with the crossover divisional games, you know, whatever year it's based on. But the first game of the year, game one, Thursday, September 4th on NBC and Peacock, it's going to be the Eagles on ring night versus the Cowboys. How do we feel about that opening up our year on Thursday night?
I feel very good about
that. I like that.
I love that.
I
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hosting season's here. Are your windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Enjoy that. You'll get to see George Pickens early in his Cowboys era. You'll get to see it on ring night. Both those teams hate each other.
Exactly.
Bad blood. The Eagles are just sort of running it back with what they had last year for the most part. Haven't had to part ways with a whole bunch of people. So I enjoy this. I very much enjoy this. Now,
last year's game was Kansas City Lions, right? Chiefs-Lions?
No,
was that the first game?
That was 2 years ago on Sunday night. That was the first opening Sunday night. Last year was Ravens versus Chiefs.
Ravens-Chiefs. And
Arrowhead with Isaiah Likely toe.
That's right! Oh, that's right, the toe game.
Since 2004, 20 defending Super Bowl champions have played in the first game of the season to open the season. Those teams have gone 15-5 in those games. And then, of course, it was the Chiefs last year, 27-20 over the Ravens. So, I like this opening game. I don't know what people think about the Cowboys and their chance to actually compete this year, so maybe that's where some of the pushback is coming, as the Cowboys just haven't had the greatest of off seasons. They haven't done all that much. People are wondering about their draft. Did they take Tyler Booker too high, a guard at 12, a little bit too high? They had a really bad year last year. So I wonder if people are having some pushback about that particular set of circumstances with the Cowboys playing the Eagles. But this is a rivalry game in Philly. Bad blood. I enjoy that being the opening game. I very much enjoy that. And also, final thing, we talked about Abdul Carter and all of his jersey issues. He wanted Phil Simms' number, which is retired by the Giants. He wanted Lawrence Taylor's number, 56, which was retired by the Giants. He split the difference, like we talked about, like Kyle Brandt talked about on NFL Network as well. He went with number 51. Do we like that number for Abdul Carter?
I kind of don't, but sure. I like the idea of it. 51 just feels like a weird number for him to wear.
Well, it's just weird, the whole situation.
51 is just an odd number.
Well, you know,
literally.
The entire situation, the fact that I'm talking about his number is weird.
I know.
Who cares?
It's so crazy.
He made it a story when it didn't need to be a story.
Two of the greatest Giants of all time was like, can I have your number? It's like, what? Who are you?
Oh, my God. I don't understand it either. It's like, I know the Penn State tradition, but not everybody abides by it. You're like Penn State's the only college or NFL franchise that abides by traditions like that, where the previous great defensive player wears the number 11.
Do you think he wears his letter jacket around the facility?
I don't know, maybe. I think he'll get bullied out of that pretty quickly. You know,
at Penn State, we used to do this. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Don't try to carry over your Penn State traditions into the National Football League. It's just a lack of awareness. I stand by what I said last week. All right, now let's go ahead and get into hour number two. Coming up next, David Cobb from CBS Sports will join the program.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.